the average credit card company charges over 19% APR. But with LightStream, you can get a fixed rate as low as 5.95% APR with AutoPay.
Now I can pay off my high-interest credit cards and save money with a much lower rate. Thanks, LightStream.
Apply today at lightstream.com/discount and get an additional interest rate discount. That's lightstream.com/discount for an additional discount. lightstream.com/discount.
Subject to credit approval. Rate includes 0.5% auto pay discount. Terms and conditions apply and offers are subject to change without notice. Visit lightstream.com/discount for more information.
When it's time to replace your roof, there are so many things to consider, from the type of roof you have to the many types and styles of shingles. Gilstrap Roofing understands how each part of our roofing system works together to give you a beautiful and watertight barrier. Don't trust the one thing that really protects your home to just anyone. Gilstrap Roofing has been covering the upstate for four generations. Proven, experienced roofers for your home or business. Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
And all the ships at sea. Lots to get to today. It's been a busy day for me. This has not been my normal day as I lead into a show. So we're going to wing this a little throughout the afternoon. We have some guests scheduled early in the show. Florida State head coach Mike Norvell scheduled to join us momentarily. And then NC State coach Dave Doran set to drop in on the show later today at, 4:05, if memory serves, and Ramona told me. So we're going to talk some ACC football early in the show. We're going to carry that through. You'll get a chance to jump in on it later. In fact, we have Coach Norvell joining us right now, so let me get to him. Coach Norvell, Coach, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Good. Hope your family's well in this wild pandemic world we find ourselves in. Hope all is well on your end.
Yes, sir. It's definitely a crazy time for everyone, but, obviously we're trying to make the most of it, and you hope everybody's safe up there as well.
Let me ask you this. Let me start here. I want to talk about your offense specifically, but In terms of this job and the circumstance you find yourself in, this challenge is more difficult than it just in a general year. You have taken over this job in a very unusual time frame in which you really didn't have spring football. How much of an additional challenge has that been for you, considering how many new staff members you're trying to employ at Florida State?
It's definitely been a challenge. Not to exactly how we envisioned the spring, but it was good. I was pleased with the approach that our guys brought into the winter conditioning. The approach we had in academics, a lot of the things we were able to do leading up to spring practice. But we were hopeful we'd get a little bit more than three practices in. But it still gave us an opportunity to kind of lay a foundation and for these guys to understand a little bit better of what the expectation is and how we practice, what we want to do. And, you know, we're just going to continue to build off that whenever we do get back to be able to start practicing on the grass.
What's your thoughts on that? What, in, given everything that you've heard, everything from your perspective, from your end, what are you hearing and seeing? What are your thoughts on the upcoming football season and how it might unveil itself?
You know, there's so many unknowns. I mean, I believe that there's a lot of people that are focusing on that every single day, What might be the next steps for us. You know, we're trying to create a plan so that we can prepare our guys for whenever we do get the green light to get them back on campus, you know, what that might look like, different ways and just trying to keep that overall mindset and approach of continuing to improve. And I tell our guys all the time, you control what you can control. And right now, not many of us control, when we get back, but we do control the mindset and the approach we bring in every day and what we're doing with the opportunity. So if we can continue to focus on that, when they tell us that we can go, we'll be ready. And, I know that, our guys are excited to get back around each other and, we'll be prepared when that does occur.
You know, it's interesting because Florida State is obviously such a historical powerhouse, yet, Coach, they've fallen on tough times in recent years. I mean, you're not inheriting the program that Bobby Bowden built. You're inheriting a different type of program. Obviously they won a national championship under Jimbo Fisher, but I thought the program really declined under Coach Fisher later in his tenure. I thought the offensive line fell apart. And obviously that was true through the Taggart tenure as well. What type of challenges do you face from a recruiting standpoint, from just rebuilding Florida State standpoint to get this program back where it was?
Well, I mean, you're right in regards to this being one of the most storied programs in college football history, and it's one that there's a great deal of excitement and support for, and we've got a tremendous fan base. We've got a tremendous group of players that I get to coach each and every day. And, at the end of the day, I've been asked the question many times about the culture and how you change that. And to be honest with you, I don't know that we necessarily have a cultural problem. I really like the kids that I get to coach. I'm excited about the coaches that we've been able to bring in. And, really our focus has been about elevating the standard and holding these guys to that standard in every aspect of what we do. And I think we've been able to add a couple key pieces, here even early in our first signing class. And we're going to continue to go out there and evaluate, the right guys that fit Florida State. And at the end of the day, that's as critical as anything is, being able to go through that evaluation process and not get so caught up on, what others think about, these guys, making sure that we find the guys that fit what we're looking for and what we want to coach and obviously guys that can help get Florida State back to where I believe we deserve to be. And that's just one of the nation's elite programs.
Obviously, you've become well-known coast to coast for your offense. Other big schools have come in and pilfered your offensive coordinators because of the wild success you've had at Memphis. Tell me, from a structural standpoint, I know your offense is sort of a pro-style spread. I've watched probably every game you played. You do a lot with personnel groupings. I see you utilize inline tight ends and H-backs and fullbacks and two-back sets. You're running a spread, but you're also committed to running the football. Tell me a little bit about your offense.
Well, I mean, we want to be multiple, really according to our personnel that we have. And I think if you look back over the last 8 years, even before I was a head coach, when I was an office coordinator at Arizona State, I mean, it was something that we took a great deal of pride in is really building an offense that is going to showcase the best things that our personnel and the young men that we have can do, and then just really continuing to build and develop off of that. And we want to be able to run the football. I think that's something that's critical in regards to having success and being a great starting point. But on the flip side of it, you got to be able to take what the defense gives you. And if that means that we've got to go out there and throw the ball, at a higher level, then we want to be able to have concepts and a great understanding of what we're being asked to do to be able to go out there and efficiently operate. And that's something that is what's a lot of fun for me as a coach is because each year is going to be different. We had years that we ran for over 4,000 yards, and we've had years that we've thrown for over 4,000 yards. It's at the end of the day, making sure that what you ask your players to do are the best things that they can do, and then just continuing to develop them in that process.
Yeah, I've noticed that. I've noticed actually the last, I don't know the exact time frame, but 3 or 4 years, I've seen your offense morph based on your personnel, where you've run the ball much more. I think the last 2 years, it seems to me, you've run the ball at a much higher rate. But I've seen you more from year to year, even in terms of your personnel grouping usages and how different it is from year to year. So you're staying true to that. And I think that's something to be admired. I think that's part of the reason you've had such incredible success. Have you had a chance really to fully vet your personnel that you're inheriting at Florida State?
I mean, in all honesty, no. the three practices it was good to get an opportunity to see these guys on the field. And I've watched every game that they played this past season, and obviously some of the guys we've recruited, and but I try to I watch every game that these guys played, but I wasn't in the meeting room. I don't know what they were being asked and coached to do, and so I try not to put too much into that. What I'm looking for is guys that go out on the field, give everything they have with great effort and attention to detail, making sure that we're doing all that we can to be smart football players. And we're going to have to make our assessment. And like I said, it is kind of unfortunate that we're going to be without those 12 other opportunities in spring to get a better sense of who we are. But we're going to have to do a good job as coaches in our evaluation of our own team here early in fall camp when that begins, and then continue to develop that throughout the season.
Is the quarterback competition just an open one at this point?
Oh, yeah, I'm excited about our quarterback room. I think we've got some talented young men. You got James Blackman, who's played a lot of football here at Florida State. It's unfortunate for him. I think he's had 4 different offensive coordinators in his time.
Yeah.
I think that's a challenge that I tell people. Everybody wants to have an opinion about the quarterback room, but if every year you change what language you speak and different expectations, it's really hard to get a great grasp for what you're being asked to do. And I like what I'm seeing from James. We've got a young man, Jordan Travis, that was able to play extensively there later in the season, was very productive in some aspects of what he has been asked to do. And I'm excited about what his future holds in that regards as well. And so I know we were able to find two freshmen, one of them that was in, Tate Rodemaker, who was an early enrollee and did some really good things in the first 3 days. And Chuba Purdy, was a young man out of Arizona that I've known of and they've been aware of for a long time, even stretching back to the time when I was living out there in Arizona myself. And so we're excited about the talent of that room, and now it's about continuing to develop them and being able to see, once again, like I said earlier, what those guys, where their true strengths are and how we can put them in the best position to achieve success.
Obviously, Coach, you said you watched most of Florida State's games, and through that process, from an outsider perspective, they have really struggled up front from an offensive line standpoint in recent years. It's affected every element of that football team. It affected Akers. It affected Blackman. It affected every element of that team. Especially now, given the limited time you have, how do you go about fixing the offensive line issues from the start? And what did you see when you watched those games, the predominant issue up front?
Well, you know what? I want to see just continued improvement. And, you know, that's with every position. There's not a position on our roster that doesn't need to improve. And so it's really the same approach. I think that we've had some young guys that have played. We've had, kind of a similar situation to what I just talked about as in the quarterback room. You know, we've had the same thing on the offensive line. I think we've had four different offensive line coaches. Once again, when you're talking about fundamental development and things of areas of growth, there's just not been a whole lot of consistency from year in to year out for these guys. But you know, we've got some young talented guys. We've got a couple guys that played a lot of football that are hungry to go out there and continue to improve and to show what they're capable of. And so it's going to be a daily process. And that process is no different for our offensive line than what we're going to ask our defensive line, our linebackers, quarterbacks, running backs, every position on the team. And we want to improve every single day. And if we do that, I definitely believe in the coaches. I believe in the players that we have, and we'll put the best product that we possibly can out there on the field and continue to grow as we continue to go about our business.
Are you still calling the plays, or is it some combination of you and Kenny Dillingham?
That's something that I think every year you look at. Kenny's been a guy that has been with me for 6 of the last 7 years, and he's a phenomenal coach. He probably knows this offense as well as anybody, and so we're gonna continue to work for what the best dynamic for us is, and we'll see that as we continue to get closer to the season.
And that's not. A real usual situation anymore. It's a little bit unique. I mean, there are a few guys around college football that do it, but does that present any special challenge to you?
Which part is that?
You being a primary play caller and head coach.
Oh, I mean, I've done it for years, and it's something.
Yeah, so it's norm.
Comfortable with, so it's not. Yeah, it's not a big thing if that's the direction we go.
Hey, Coach, congratulations, first of all. Congratulations on the job. I'm really looking forward to watching your Florida State team develop over the next X number of years. Really admired all the work you've done at Memphis. Incredibly fun offense to watch. Incredibly difficult to stop. Has been amongst the nation's leaders ever since you've been there, and obviously before that at Arizona State. So keep up the great work. We'll talk to you down the road. I appreciate you taking the time to join us this afternoon. Good luck.
Well, I appreciate you having me on, and hope everybody stays safe, and go Noles.
Thank you, Coach. Coach Mike Norvell of Florida State dropping by the program to start the show today. We'll talk more about what Coach Norvell had to say, what his actual challenges are, and more when we get back on the other side, because, again, I think he's inherited a really difficult situation. I just do. I can't imagine a more difficult situation at Florida State. Not only are you inheriting the sort of semi-dumpster fire that Florida State has been in recent years, and you have a lot of fixing to do. I mean, look, anyone who's watched Florida State play the last few years knows it's broken. It's broken. It's fundamentally broken. Now, look, I appreciate the job Coach Norvell has, and I appreciate him joining us, but he has a challenge. And his challenge is made more difficult by the fact he had no spring. He had 3 practices with a new staff. And again, for the quarterbacks like James Blackman, you have new terminology again. You have 4 offensive coordinators. Every time you turn around, it's something different. Every time you turn around, you have a new offensive line coach. It's a major, major challenge that Mike Norvell has to overcome. I have no doubt he's going to overcome it. I really don't. I think he's a really bright guy. I want to talk about some of the things he does offensively because I think he's a master at utilizing personnel groupings. You know, again, I asked him if he was going to be the primary play caller. I think he is. I think he does trust Kenny Dillingham. That's a relationship that has developed over the last 5 or 6 years. And so I think that the two work together really well. And so you probably don't have to come right out and say, well, I'm the primary play caller, because I think it's a shared responsibility. But I still think he is. And you don't see that much more in today's college football. You don't see many head coaches who are also the primary play caller. I want to talk about this and much more when we get back. You want to get in on any of this, 654-7627.
The drive-thru is open and the food is the real deal. Buy 20 Supremes and get 5 free, all for just $25 at Bojangles. It's Bow Time.
Great road trips start at State Credit Union, where you'll enjoy having no car payments for up to 90 days. And with rates as low as 2.24% APR on new cars, this is a great time to buy. Plus, applying for your new car loan is fast and easy. Call, click, or stop by any of the 20 branches of State Credit Union today. Learn more online at scscu.com. That's scscu.com. State Credit Union, taking members where they want to go. Certain terms and conditions apply. Rates, conditions, and programs are subject to change without notice. Equal housing lender, federally insured by the NCUA.
Metal Depot's, formerly Metal Building Supply, would like to remind you that during this time of change and new normal, we're still here to help and serve. Metal Depot's is your leading supplier of metal buildings, along with roof and wall components, with superior quality and competitive prices. Call or stop by to speak to one of our material specialists at 864-295-0506. We are located at 1500 Elrod Road in Piedmont.
Has this ever happened to you? My friend was telling me about his new pair of headphones, so I looked them up online. Now, everywhere I go is a creepy ad for those headphones I looked at one time. I hate that feeling like I'm being watched. I got DuckDuckGo and saw a difference right away. With one download, you can search and browse privately, avoiding trackers, all for free. It's that simple. Take back your privacy online with DuckDuckGo. Privacy simplified.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
We know staying in is a little easier when you can grill out. That's why Ace will help you get a great grill for your family from the best brands like Big Green Egg, Traeger, and Weber. And with your local Ace right in your neighborhood, we'll assemble and deliver your grill for free. Then, to make it even easier, we'll include free fuel to help you get grilling. The brands you love and the service you trust, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members through May 31st on grills and accessories, $3.99 and up. Propane tank not included. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
For 25 years, Husqvarna Automowers have been the best-selling worldwide. With the Husqvarna Automower Crown Commitment Program, you'll enjoy your weekends and know that if you're not satisfied with the performance of your Husqvarna Automower within 60 days of purchase from a Husqvarna dealer, return it for a full refund or exchange. Easley Lawn and Garden offers Husqvarna Automowers as well as the expert installation and service you need. Trust them to get you set up with the right Husqvarna Automower just for your yard. After all, Easley Lawn and Garden has been your trusted local source for nearly 40 years. Let a Husqvarna Automower do the work while you relax. Easley Lawn and Garden, your local Husqvarna Automower professionals for sales, installation, and service. For all your power equipment needs. Veteran and family owned and operated. 312 South Pendleton Street, Easley. Online at easleylawn.com.
Missed a show? No worries. Catch every hour of every show on our webpage, wccpfm.com. We are The Roar.
Tip Julie Road Rage, we are back. Let me thank Coach Mike Norville of Florida State for stopping in at the start of the show. Later today, Dave Doran will join us. You can get in right now. Lines were jammed yesterday. You can get in on any of what you just heard. Anything you want to talk about in relation to college football, that's what we're talking about now. You want to get in on any of that, you're welcome to do so. We'll talk a little bit about the Furman baseball situation later, although I think it's been covered in depth. But we'll touch on that as well. Let me tell you about George Coleman Ford. Tammy wrote, this was on Google, probably the best vehicle buying experience we have had ever. Carlos was super responsive and great to work with. Gerald and finance worked hard to get the financing package we wanted. Both had everything lined up for us when we arrived. We drove off the lot with our awesome new used truck within an hour. Had to travel a bit to get there, but frankly, I would travel even further for this type of professional, transparent, and courteous service. Thanks, guys. We will see you again. That's what we're talking about.
That's great.
For 90 years. Right. That's why someone stays in business. Who was it? It was Bobby. Bobby, you called us yesterday, Ramona, who said he bought two cars from George Coleman Ford. And he loved everything about it. Loved the whole experience. Then he said in 2008, he bought a vehicle from a different place. And that within 1 month, the dealership was closed.
Yeah, see, there you go. That's scary.
Yeah, and there, right, there's all your recourse and your lifeline. It's all out the window, okay? George Coleman Ford has been there for 90 years. Right? They have been there through good times and bad times. And they will continue. They will persevere. They will always be there. You know, 150 years from now, George Coleman Ford is still going to be there. It's George Coleman Ford and Travelers Rest. Go see him. You'll get that type of service that you deserve. You know, on Coach Norville, Tester 940 says, great interview. Coach Norville will get Florida State fixed. You know, it's interesting because I thought he was, well, you know, again, first of all, I appreciate him taking the time to do that. Okay. Not everyone's doing that in these circumstances. We very much appreciate Coach Norville. I thought he was a little reserved, though.
You think so? Guarded?
You think? Yeah. Well, you said to me during the commercial break that you know, I think he thinks we're spies or something.
Well, yeah, I mean, you never know. That's what sometimes I get the impression.
No. You know, look, I think all coaches are that way. Okay. I think all coaches are a little bit paranoid when it comes to who and what they are and what they do.
That's true.
Particularly a guy like this who, you know, really is the architect of his own offense. And I want to talk a little bit about that offense at Florida State because it is very multiple. The Memphis offense was very multiple. And I assume the Florida State offense will be as multiple. If you actually track, and he hinted at this, you know, he hinted that, in fact, he did suggest this. He said, you know, basically he plays to his personnel. And there's all sorts of evidence of that. 2 years ago, when he had all those runners, when he had Henderson and Pollard and all those guys, he pounded the football. He had four running backs. He played a lot of two-back sets. And yeah, they're a zone read team. They run some RPO. They want to play with tempo, but tempo's not their priority. They want to run the football. The last 2 years, they're run to pass. Everyone thinks of Memphis and Norville as Air Norville. That's not necessarily what they are. He is playing to their strengths. And the last 2 years, their strengths have been running the football. And for those two seasons, he ran the ball like 58.5% of the time. I mean, he ran the ball nearly 60% of the time the last 2 years. Florida State's not been able to run the ball at all. So you want to know the first way you fix your offensive line? You commit to running it. Because, again, that's been, you know, and look, he's not going to disparage any of his players. He's not going to do that. You know, first of all, he hasn't even had time to learn them yet. You know, he laughed at that. He said, you know, yeah, true. I mean, I've had 3 days. You know, so basically, and it didn't sound like he wanted to make excuses either to me. It didn't sound like he wanted to use any of that as crutch, but it is. That's a legitimate issue, right? Because the team he inherited fired the coach because they were a train wreck. Yes, there's a storied history, but you have to dig deep to find it because it's buried under layers of Willie Taggart and Jimbo Fisher blubber. It's buried because, you know, again, yes, Florida State's program good enough to win the national title, which they did under Fisher. And from that point on, that program has been straight downhill. And it shouldn't be. You know, people keep talking about their talent erroneously because their talent is isolated. Their talent is always spot talent. Now, it's not meat and potatoes talent. That's been the worst major college offensive line in college football for years now. You know, and I asked him about that, and I asked him how you fix it. I don't think he can even answer that right now. Either he didn't want to, or he can't, or both. I don't think he can really answer the question right now. When has he had a chance to do so?
Three practices?
He needs fall camp to figure out what he has on that offensive front. Now, again, look, he's watched the film. I asked him, you know, he said, you know, I've watched all the Florida State games. And I said, well, then you saw those offensive line issues. You know, what do you do about that? How do you go about fixing those issues? And again, I don't know that he really has an answer to that right now. I think he has to get in and figure it out when we get back to playing football. But I will say this. Commitment to run will help. What was the game last year, Ramona, where it was, I think it was Florida State against NC State, which is sort of strange because those are the two coaches we have on today. But I think it was Florida State, NC State, and Florida State, and I forget which quarterback was even in, drops back to pass. Maybe it was Blackman. And all five Florida State offensive linemen dive right into the ground. They're all trying to cut block. It's the worst cut blocking I've ever seen in my life. And all five of them whiff, leaving five untouched defenders to an onslaught to rush the quarterback. Florida State's offensive line ranked like 125th, 128th last year in pass protection numbers. They've been terrible. You know, another area they've been terrible, penalties. I think they were, and I meant to ask about that. We didn't get to that, but I think they were 128th in the country in most penalties last year. So there's a lot to clean up. And unfortunately for Coach Norvell this year, there's not a lot of time to do that. There's not a lot of time to do that. Texter 940 says, Coach Norvell doesn't know you like we know. You just want knowledge to give a fix to your illness. You're not a spy, just sick. Exactly. And you know, and again, he wasn't really forthcoming about that, but I didn't really expect him to be. You know, plus, as I said, I think there are a lot of questions he doesn't know the answer to yet. 3 days doesn't provide you many answers. And you can watch all the film you want, but you got to get out on the field with these guys. And I think that's going to be his biggest challenge. But, you know, in terms of what you do if you're Florida State and how you go about fixing it, well, one thing is you stop letting those guys pass block on every play because most of them can't. So you start committing to running the football. And this is where this pro-style notion comes in because Norvell uses a lot of different personnel groupings and he uses a lot of inline tight end. So that provides you a numbers advantage. You don't see that a ton in college football. This guy, his offense is essentially a pro-style spread, which sounds like an oxymoron, but it's not the way they work it. And you will frequently see this team go to two back looks. You'll see them in shotgun. You'll see them in pistol. You'll see them run split backs. They do a lot of things with split backs because it provides them more options. You know, their tight ends don't have to be great route runners if you don't expect them to be in the route, especially when they're in an inline blocking position. It allows them to do a little bit of everything. And at times they're going to spread you out and throw the ball. But I think this is a fact, and it's what he said. He said that, you know, basically we play to the personnel. And if you go back and you examine what his Memphis teams have done the last few years, you will see that with absolute certainty. They, in fact, do that. Other people talk that, but this guy does that. He plays to his personnel. He and Dillingham are going to evaluate their strengths offensively, and then they are going to play to those strengths, whatever those strengths are. And if that means putting two backs and two tight ends on the field, that's what they're going to do. If that means running the ball 60% of the time, that's what they're going to do. If that means throwing it, you know, again, what I find fascinating is I track their personnel groupings the last few years, and if you actually evaluate those numbers, the last 2 years they've been primarily a running team, but if you go back before that, their personnel groupings were quite different. And so, you know, whether he's an 11 personnel or 12 personnel, whether he has two backs and two tight ends on the field, he's using a lot of different personnel groupings, and he is playing to his strength. And the idea behind this whole offense is to create one-on-one matchups for their playmakers. And they do a remarkable job of getting their playmakers isolated in space. I wanted to ask him about Antonio Gibson, but we were up against the break. Gibson wound up being drafted in the top 75 picks or so. I forget what number he was drafted in. And he's a young man who again, positionally, they called him a wide receiver. But he rushed for like 400 yards. And I think the NFL views him more as a running back. And the Redskins drafted him, and I think that's what he's going to be used as. But this is what they do. This is what Norvell did at Memphis so successfully. This guy's averaging 45 points a game at Memphis. He's putting up big points and big numbers on everybody. And people kept stealing his offensive coordinators through the years. Notre Dame, Texas A&M. But he and Dillingham have a working relationship that goes back, I think, 6 years. I believe that's what Coach Norvell said. And so, you know, there's going to be a meeting of the minds. They know what they're doing. They've just got to teach Florida State players to know what they're doing. And again, I don't know how quickly that process can take root. I think there will be some growing pains because, you know, what has Florida State been? I mean, in theory, under Jimbo Fisher, they were a pro style. And under Willie Taggart, they were a spread. Quite honestly, in recent years, they haven't looked like anything. And they haven't looked like anything because the offensive line hasn't blocked anybody and they've not been able to run any effective offense. I guess numbers-wise, their offense improved last year from the year before, but it still never looked good. It still never looked good. It never looked consistent. It never looked like they had a plan. They're going to have a plan now. Now, how long it takes them to implement that plan and execute it, you know, again, I don't think he knows who his quarterback is. If he does, he's not saying. You know, he talked about the trials and tribulations of James Blackman. I hope for his sake that Blackman isn't broken. Because I think Blackman had a chance at one point to be a pretty good player, and he never got any help. I mean, I remember Jimbo Fisher throwing him to the Wolves and Jimbo Fisher screaming at him over in the sideline when there was no pass protection, no anything. And he's a kid quarterback who was thrown into an awful situation. You know, can he be saved? Can he be salvaged? I don't know. I don't know whether he can or not. With another new offense, with a new scheme, with new terminology, whatever advantage an incumbent had from that regard is lost as well. So everyone is starting at point zero. And I'm not at all sure who Florida State's quarterback is going to be right now. I think there are four options, and I think it could be any of them. I'm not convinced, you know, who their quarterback's going to be. I am convinced of this. I am convinced that the way Norvell will utilize his tight ends is going to help Florida State's ability to block anybody up front. I think that his commitment to run the football and to utilize tight ends as he does, whether it's two tight ends on a field, whether it's, you know, a fullback, a tight end, whatever you want to call it. I mean, he moves these guys around. As I said, they're going to run out of pistol. They'll run shotgun. They'll run split backs. It's an offense that really makes use of personnel groupings and can attack multiple ways, even within one game or even within one series of plays. Walt Tip Tula, Road Rage, quick break. We'll be right back.
It's time for another Solid Orange Clemson Classic replay this Saturday at 10 a.m. Relive the second national championship of the Dabo Swinney era as the Tigers and the Crimson Tide face off in the championship game of the 2019 College Football Playoff. Brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union, Hartwell Village Shopping Center, Burton Properties, Granger Nissan, Priority Run, Krispy Kreme, and Toyota of Easley. 44-16, the Tigers and the Tide. This Clemson Classic game replay Saturday at 10 a.m. on The Roar.
It's bow time. The drive-thru is open and the food is real deal. Because no matter what else is going on, you still got a hungry family. Bojangles has your back. Buy 20 Supremes and get 5 free all for just 25 bucks. It's bow time.
You've heard talk about Harbin Lumber's strong customer service and elite customer support. They know that time is make or break for you contractors and handymen. Harbin Lumber will walk you through the project from start to finish, providing your order in full and on time. Harbin Lumber will partner with you and find solutions that will not create costly issues and problems later. Call today at 353-5053. That's 353-5053. Harbin Lumber Company. All they need is an opportunity. They will earn the rest.
It happens every time. When a hailstorm hits, there's an increase of people who want to take your money for roof repairs. Problem is, many of them are just trying to take advantage of you and don't really know what they're doing. Gilstrap Roofing has been around for decades. Trust Gilstrap Roofing to handle the repairs and deal with the insurance. Just because someone knocks on your door with a card that says they're a roofer doesn't mean they'll do quality work at a reasonable price. Call Gilstrap Roofing, 269-1232.
It's Dabo again. One of the fastest growing crimes these days is package theft. We're all ordering more online, and a stack of boxes on your front porch can be quite the temptation. Priority One Security provides the protection you need with their video doorbell system. You can record any movement or answer the door from your smartphone, no matter where you are. Priority One, trust in us.
See us on the web at PriorityOneSecurity.com. That's Priority, the number one, Security.com. 888-407-SAFE.
Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley invites you to stop by and check out all the new Yokohama Geolander and Advan Series tires. From May 15th to July 5th, buy a set of four select Yokohama Geolander or Advan tires and you could receive up to a $70 Visa prepaid card or Visa virtual account. Call Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley at 859-1361 or see them online at stscnow.com. Yokohama Geolander or Advan Series tires from Steve's Tire and Service Center in Easley.
Warm weather is ahead. That means look out for those summer thunderstorms we see in the upstate every year. Don't let bad weather and snapping tree branches leave you in the dark. Be prepared with a Generac automatic whole home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Pro Power Premier dealer ready to serve you. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment. Tell them Mickey from 105.5 sent you.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
We know staying in is a little easier when you can grill out. That's why Ace will help you get a great grill for your family from the best brands like Big Green Egg, Traeger, and Weber. And with your local Ace right in your neighborhood, we'll assemble and deliver your grill for free. Then, to make it even easier, we'll include free fuel to help you get grilling. The brands you love and the service you trust, only at Ace. Offer valid for Ace Rewards members through May 31st on grills and accessories, $3.99 and up. Propane tag not included. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
Covering the upstate with a split back formation. 105.5, 97.5, and AM 1560. We are The Roar.
Welcome to the Road Rage. We are back. I'm being asked if I've thought about coaching. I appreciate that. I'm past that. And Texter 23S as well. He also gave a lot of generic answers. He did, but again, you know, look, I think coaches in many cases, and look, if I were him, I would understand that. You know, I mean, I understand that from his perspective, I should say, in English. I understand that from his perspective. I really do. I mean, again, We're Clemson Station. All these coaches are, as I said, a bit paranoid about what they do and the things they do and revealing too much. Even though, you know, again, any opposing coaching staff has already evaluated the film and knows what they do. So it's not like but all college coaches are like this. And I don't find anything abnormal about the way Coach Norville responded to those questions in that regard. And I expected some of that. And as I said, I think part of it too is just, I think there are things he just doesn't know yet. And I don't know how he could know. As I said, you know, listen, when we started talking about this situation and this college football season, this NFL season, what has been a constant theme in our discussions? It's been where there's continuity, there's likely to be an even greater level of success than normal. And where there's none, the challenge is exponentially higher. You know, where there's no continuity, where there's newness, where there's a whole new coaching staff and a whole new way of doing business and all that stuff, and there's three spring practices. I mean, how are you going to do that? I think his challenge is enormous. And look, I think long term, you know, listen, do I think this guy is going to get Florida State back on its feet again and eventually represent the most significant challenge in the ACC to Clemson? I do. I think that I don't know exactly how long it's going to take. You know, when the Taggart hire was made, Florida State people wanted to know, you know, well, how long? I don't know. I said, I'm not even 100% sure he's the guy. I wasn't even 100% sure of that. Well, turns out he's not the guy. Now, again, I think part of that was the mess that Jimbo Fisher left him. And again, that's Coach Norville's biggest challenge, is he has inherited a twofold mess. He inherits the mess left by the two previous coaches. Because Fisher left a mess for Taggart, and Taggart didn't fix any of it. Now, one thing I will say, Coach Norville said he doesn't think the culture's broken. You know, he likes the kids he's coaching, and that's a positive. Now, on the other hand, what would he say if it was broken? You know what I mean? I mean, if it was broken, he's still going to say that.
That's true.
He's not going to say, well, the entire culture's broken.
Yeah, we suck.
Right, this is a cesspool. You know, he's not going to say those things, right? He's got to put up a good front, but I do think he has challenges in front of him. And the bottom line, though, in it is I believe in his ability, and I believe he has a plan to fix it. What I don't know is how much time it will take to do so, and how much time he has, especially this year, because he just doesn't have a lot of time this year. So if you're a Florida State fan, you want to get in on any of this, we're going to talk some ACC football during the show today. I want to get to the basketball topic that we just brought up at the end of the show yesterday, but we didn't touch on, and that's basketball duos throughout history. But if you want to get in on this, you're welcome to do so. As I said, Coach Dave Dorn of NC State will join us at 4:05 today. Joe, I'm coming right to you in a minute. So I think Coach Norville has a challenge. I think he has an idea of how to fix it. And I think from a philosophical standpoint, there are lots of teams around the country that have been paying attention to what Norville was doing down at Memphis from an offensive scheming standpoint. Because, again, he wants to play with tempo, but not as a primary factor. He has other concerns that trump that. They want to play fast, but they want to be successful playing fast. Now, a few years back, probably more than a few years now, I saw some analytics numbers that suggested, and I don't remember the exact number. Coaches will have these numbers, but it was something like, if you're going to play up tempo, you need to average at least 5.5 yards per play. I think that was the cutoff point. If you average anything lower than that, it actually backfires on you. It puts your defense on the field more in bad situations, and it backfires on you. And so, I think Coach Norvell wants greater control than you get when you just play fast. He wants to combine that with the usage of personnel groupings, and so he has this multiple offense that is part pro style, part spread, that utilizes H-backs and fullbacks and tight ends and inline tight ends and split backs and pistol and shotgun and all these things. And it's made them very difficult to defend because, again, he is going to play to his strengths. And that's what he needs to determine. And I'm sure he's in the process, but probably won't be able to determine it fully before fall, just what his strengths are. I mean, right now, offensively, his biggest strength is Terry, the wide receiver. That's his singular biggest strength offensively right now. You know, here's something else. He produces a 1,000-yard receiver every year. Even when they're running 60% of the times as they have the last 2 years, he produces a 1,000-yard receiver every single year. Joe, how are you?
Hey, well, thanks for taking my call. Interesting lineup you got as interviews. I think Norvell is going to turn it around at FSU, but you know, I don't think you can judge anything on this season. But this idea that, you know, Florida State's going to be down forever, you know, it's just kind of ludicrous to me. That's what it kind of seems like when a lot of people talk about it. I still think, you know, they can rebound, but
they're going to rebound.
One thing,
they're going to rebound. You know, Joe, even at a historically significant institution, even at a shingle school, what I call shingle schools, you can still hire losers, you know, and.
Yeah.
And Jimbo Fisher morphed into a loser at Florida State. That's what he did. And then Texas A&M decided to make him the richest man on earth. And then and then Willie Taggart, I mean, honestly, it just never seemed like Willie Taggart even got his head above water. He seemed like, he seemed like he was at the bottom of the lake the whole time he was there.
I think that was a little bit media hype for him. You know, he might be a better coach than I give him credit, but I think he's a little bit media hype. But I want to give you just a few upsets. You know, I think college football is coming, so I want to give you some upsets. This is a little bit minor, but it's still an upset. I got Tulane going up to Northwestern and knocking them off, second game of the season.
Wow.
I think Willie Fritz is going to go up there, and that defense was horrible last year at Northwestern. I know they returned a bunch of guys, but Indiana, I think, ran for 300 yards on them last year, if I'm not mistaken. So I got Tulane upsetting them.
Maybe a buzzer beater or something like that. Well, and to your point, Joe, you know, Northwestern has this recent history of starting seasons very glacier-like slowly. I mean, starting seasons very slowly. They do not get out of the box well. They tend to rally. They didn't rally last year. Plus, they don't know who their quarterback is.
Now, they do rebound, you know, they have a down year and then they rebound, but I just think, you know, this is a prime upset early in the season. I don't think there's going to be a lot of people at the stadium, you know, at least initially the first few weeks. And then the other one, I think it might be a shootout, but I kind of think it's going to be a bully beat down, Memphis over Purdue, second week of the season. I think Memphis is going to score 50, maybe 60.
Where's that game?
Let's go at Purdue. I think 60 points. I think Memphis is going to score 60 points at Purdue.
Whoa. Even without Coach Norvell, Memphis to score 60 at Purdue.
They have a top 10 quarterback as far as production. So
who's been
I think
there,
he's going to have a field day.
Who's been in college football 37 years.
He probably has like three kids in a minivan. But appreciate it, Walt.
When he leaves Memphis, he doesn't get a diploma. He gets a gold watch. he has been. White has been there a million years. I don't know. I think that, you know, it's good, Ramona. We're getting predictions on college football.
Yeah.
Sort of like
it. Yeah, everybody's stoked.
Well, you know, I think everyone is is gradually coming to the realization that college football is going to be played. And I think that's the case. And NFL football is going to be played, as we've been saying all along. So for all the people who believe that there was no way, it's going to happen. Now, you know, could a second wave change all this? I suppose. I mean, I suppose anything is possible. But I have believed all along that college football was going to be played. I still believe that. I think that's what's going to happen. And I think we're seeing some movement towards that as well. So, you know, that's the direction that we're headed. You know, and as far as Joe saying, you know, well, Florida State's not going to stay down forever. He doesn't. No, look, obviously not. But again, even still, like Alabama, with their history, Alabama went through a period of dormancy. You know, Alabama went through a long period, you know, what I call the Mike era. You know, Mike DeBose, Mike Shula, Mike Price, Mike, a.k.a. Dennis Franchione. You know, they hired every loser named Mike on the planet. And you know, they were just an average or less than average football team during all those years that they kept hiring these loser tomato cans. I mean, one after another after another. I mean, it's like they were picking from the biggest losers ever. Remember when DeBose was at Alabama and Steve Spurrier was sending him, Spurrier was at Florida, and Spurrier was sending him nasty, like, cease and desist letters, or I'm going to turn you in, that we know what you're doing. You know, that was happening. You know, plus DeBose was allegedly involved with the secretary there. You know, I mean, that's what was going on at that period. Then they hired Mike Price. It wasn't bad enough they had DeBose, who was allegedly messing around there. But then they hired Mike Price, and, you know, he's the guy who hired the Dee Snider stripper.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm telling you, that was Dee Snider. It's not. And Mike Price hired the Dee Snider lookalike stripper. The strangest thing, Ruben, I was, remember when, like all those years later, the Dee Snider stripper allegedly had a baby?
No.
I don't really believe any of that. You saw that. These are the guys Alabama was hiring. Dennis Franchione. Franchione was there for what? Like 3 minutes? He left like a thief in the middle of the night. You know, he ran out of town in the middle of the night. So even the best programs can be down, can be dormant. Coach Dave Doran on the other side. Welcome to the Road Rage. Quick break.
Broadcasting live from the Priority One Security Studios, WCCP 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT, 1560 Cowpens, 97.5 Spartanburg, the Upstate's number one choice for sports. We are the Roar.
After a national health scare, I figured it was time to get serious about my health. I was pre-diabetic, snored heavily, and had no energy. The Health There helped me the easy way. I was skeptical of the program, but after losing 27 pounds of belly fat in the first month, I'm a believer. No shots, starvation, or gimmicks, and my energy is through the roof. If you have diabetes, hypertension, or sleep apnea, call 1-877-IDARE-ME for your free consultation or go to idareme.com. Tell them Lou sent you and get the second program totally free. I took the Health There, now I dare you.
You're scared. You cannot pay your credit cards. You cannot pay your medical bills. Someone suggests to you debt consolidation, combining them all in one payment. Can you really afford that? Is there something else you can do? Call me and see if bankruptcy can help you. Call me, Robert King. Together, we will look for a thoughtful solution to your legal problem.
Thompson & King, 300 South Tower Street in Anderson. Call 222-0200 or online at thompsonking.com. Thompson & King is a debt relief agency helping people file for bankruptcy under the bankruptcy code.
Hi, this is Gary, the mortgage expert. Did you know my FHA 30-year mortgage is 2.99%? Here at Rate Saver Mortgage, we have rates that destroy the big banks. If you're buying a home or refinancing, call 979-1111, 979-1111. Or go to GaryTheMortgageExpert.com. APR equals 4.49% based on $250,000 loan and 680 score. Subject to approval. Rate subject to change. Gary's NMLS number is 107-429. Rate Saver Mortgage NMLS 1847969.
Equal housing lender.
It may not be stomach issues.